What's up, everybody? Time for the Binge Boys podcast. I'm your host, Logan. Joining me today is that boy, Matt.
You know it, me.
How's it going, my friend?
Oh, it's going good, man. Just buzzing off a fantastic Wordle day over here.
Okay. Can you help me figure out, is it an app do you download? Is it like a, what is this?
So yeah, there's not an app for it yet. So it's just pull it up in your browser. It's some British dude. It is a basically guessing word game that you play once a day to try and guess like the 5-letter word.
Interesting.
And you get hints if you have the correct letter but not in the correct spot, or the correct letter in the correct spot. And you get 6 guesses to figure it out.
Interesting. And you do this every single day?
Yeah, there's a new one every day. I've done it for the past like 2 weeks ish.
Dang, I've seen it on the timeline, and I just like have never understood what the deal is. So I'm consider me in.
Hell yeah,
let's do it. Nobody saw us talking about Wordle to start off.
I knew you had some mysteries on it, so I just came in hot with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, this is the Binge Boys podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. And if you're a longtime listener, welcome back. However, if this is your first time, the premise is each week, Matt and Tanner, who couldn't be here tonight because of certified college catching up to him, and myself, we break down the hottest in TV and movies. Every Thursday, maybe not every Thursday, so maybe that verbiage should change, but every few Thursdays or so, we have a bonus episode, and that usually ranges from being the run-through. That's what you're used to. You know that run-throughs come out on Thursdays. However, as we've spoken about in past few weeks, that could be a home for like a rewatch pod that takes place once a month, or like some commentary on, you know, some comments made by certain people in the movie industry, or maybe they're a headline centric episode, or maybe we break down a bunch of trailers if they all come out in 1 week. So Thursday episodes are reserved for kind of bonus episodes, which shouldn't take too long. They're going to be probably half as long as a normal episode, clocking in probably around 25 to 30 minutes. Just kind of a nice way to give you another episode later on in the week. So those are a lot of fun. This week it is a run through. And it's The Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, with special guest Sunday Polls Guy.
The household name.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't know who that is, you will. And if you do know who that is, well, you're ahead of the curve.
Strap in.
So on those episodes, we're joined by a particular co-host or co-hosts who want to dive in on a different movie or TV series, and you'll see what that is if you haven't heard of or listened to an episode of that before on Thursday. So first things first, go to Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. How about that? And follow us at Binge Boys Pod. That's where you get announcements, top 5 lists, reviews, all kinds of stuff. On Mondays and Wednesdays, we throw either fun facts at you, motivational quotes from movies. We'll throw a happy birthday shout out every once in a while. This Saturday, we're throwing up a happy birthday shout out to the greatest who's ever done it. The man who doesn't age, Guy Fieri. Oh. I was missing some content for this coming Saturday, and I was just like, let's see whose celebrity birthdays are coming up this weekend. And I was like, oh no, it's it's the guy's birthday. So yeah, we do that. We have some fun. The TikTok is going to be for like video clips for those of you who have listened or watched to the real or fake segment that Matt streamlined a few weeks back. We have another one probably coming next week or the week after. We got one in the hopper ready to go.
Yeah.
And if you've looked at the calendar for January and February, there's not much going on in terms of a few releases in February, but January is pretty empty. So besides TV, we don't have much. So catch us sprinkling in a real or fake in the next week or so as Matt does Salt Guy.
I am salt baying and salt audio bay. Only medium. So that was great content on my part.
Absolutely. So after you followed us on the socials, make sure you head over to Apple or Spotify, or I guess wherever you listen, and leave us a rating and review. You can do that on Spotify now. So just hit that 5-star button on both iTunes and Spotify. It would help us out a lot. And whoever stumbles upon the pod could see like, hey, people like this show. And that's all we want. That's all we ask for you. So we talked internally, Matt Tanner and I, this week about how we could make the show better. And I put out a little survey. I didn't like say this on an episode. I think I just like put it on the socials. I texted a bunch of people that I know listen to the pod in my circle. And I just said, hey, could you fill this out? It was pretty much just like a how are we doing type thing. And people are listening. People are enjoying. And the two things they said is, hey, do some more video content for TikTok, which A, we're doing already ahead of you. And B, make the episodes a little shorter. I know some episodes, like the ones that we did past month or so, are always a little longer because we're wrapping up the year in review. However, it doesn't hurt to maybe shorten it up a little bit.
Make a nice tactical pod.
Yeah. Get in, get out. As Dave Ruff says, friend of the pod.
Certified.
It's great to be able to say that. Friend of the pod, Dave Ruff. With that said, we've realized that a lot of the things that kind of, I don't want to say drag on the episodes, but kind of adds 15 to 20 minutes are the headlines sometimes. And those were never meant for something to be something that takes 15, 20 minutes. So what we're going to do, I think, unless there's just a week where we can't avoid talking about one or two things, we're probably going to put the number one trending, or at least, you know, the most important headline of the week in our eyes.
Yep.
And we've talked about all the movies that we have loved about over the past year. And so it only helped that, of course, the day after, I'm pretty sure, last episode aired, the Golden Globes happened, which I wasn't aware.
Well, they were held privately. There wasn't even a broadcast for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No wonder. Last year, they were streaming only. This year, they're private. And the way that's going, next year, there will be none.
I assume that's probably correct. Award shows are kind of on their way out, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Golden Globes, man. I mean, this is always a fun time. I'm kind of upset that that there wasn't at least a broadcast.
Something. Yeah, there's people at home even. They've done that just before.
Give us something. But I guess, you know, if the ratings are going down and people aren't watching, and of course the pandemic doesn't help, groups of people not getting together that big. So, you know, all we have is the list of winners. And we're not going to go through every single category because that would take forever and it would completely counter what I just said about length. So I'm going to run through the biggest categories, at least in our eyes. So strap in. Let's talk about it if needed. But if not, here we go. Okay.
Sure.
Best picture, musical or comedy, between Don't Look Up, Licorice Pizza, Tick, Tick, Boom, Serrano, and West Side Story. West Side Story took the cake. Did you end up ever seeing it, Matt? Or did you miss it like I did?
I missed it, man. I heard some like mixed things about it. So I was already like 55% in, and you know, turns out it just takes a few negative comments to make me out.
Yep. And as the token musical guy, I would hate for I would hate for a musical to hurt your feelings. So maybe I'll just wait for that one to stream.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We got best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. We got Leo in Don't Look Up, Peter Dinklage in Serrano, Andrew Garfield in Tick, Tick, Boom, Cooper Hoffman in Licorice Pizza, and Anthony Ramos in The Heights. Andrew Garfield took that one. Big shouts. Love that for him.
That was a stacked category.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got best motion picture drama. We got Belfast, Coda, Dune, King Richard, and The Power of the Dog. And The Power of the Dog took that one.
You were just disappointed it wasn't Dune. You really wanted them to pull that
one out. I really, really wanted Dune to sweep this award season. best performance. First of all, before moving on, Power of the Dog, didn't see that coming.
I can kind of see it. It's a bit of an awardsy
it is
movie.
You're very right.
Focused. It does, you know, doesn't do much, but what it does, it was really, really focused on.
This is true. This is true. We got best performance by an actress in a drama. We got Kristen Stewart, Spencer. Love that for her, the nomination at least. Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter, Lady Gaga, House of Gucci, Jessica Chastain, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, and the one who took it, Nicole Kidman, Being the Ricardos. I've heard a lot about that Being the Ricardos show. I don't know what it's on. I think it's Amazon, maybe?
I believe that is the case. I mean, I'm not really surprised that that took it. She was playing Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
You know, old Hollywood, you know, mature actress playing an old Hollywood, you know, titan. It definitely set up for success there.
Yeah, absolutely. Got best performance by an actor in a drama. Mahershala Ali, Swan Song. Javier Bardem, Being the Ricardos. Benedict Cumberbatch, The Power of the Dog. Denzel Washington, The Tragedy of Macbeth. And the one who took it, Will Smith, King Richard. Love that. Absolutely deserved.
That might be the only, that's the only thing I saw, King Richard take, which that was sort of surprising to me from the way you talked about it. And that also seemed like kind of an awardsy movie.
Very much so. I'm surprised that I didn't see King. Well, I guess it did get nominated for Best Motion Picture Drama. Mm. But yeah, I'm surprised it didn't take a little more. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe later on, maybe a supporting actress, because the girls that played Venus and Serena did amazing.
Yeah.
But we'll see if they did good enough to take the cake on that. Best Supporting Actress, Motion Picture. We got Kalyana Balfe in Belfast. Kristen Dunst, The Power of the Dog. Ruth Negga. Passing, the one who took it, Ariana DeBose, maybe Dubois, West Side Story.
Dude, this is not your category.
It's not. I'm moving on. Best supporting actor in a motion picture. We've got Troy Kotsur in Coda, Claren Hinds in Belfast, Jamie Dornan in Belfast, Ben Affleck, The Tender Bar. More on that later. Which is interesting that we're reading this for 2021's movies, unless I missed something. I'm pretty sure The Tender Bar came out like early this year, but I could be wrong. And then the one who took it, Cody Smith McPhee in The Power of the Dog. Best director, we get Belfast, Lost Daughter, West Side Story, Dune, and the one who takes it, Jane Campion, Power of the Dog. Big stuff there. Best animated picture. We got Flea, Luca, Raya and the Last Dragon, My Sunny Mod, and the one who took it, Encanto, which, you know.
Okay.
Good yeah. For them. I know me and you weren't crazy about Encanto. I would have much preferred Luca over Encanto in that one. I really liked Luca.
Yeah. Want to hop down to TV? I think that's all the big movie ones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's best see. Original song, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I can do that one. We got Be Alive from a Beyonce and Dixon song from King Richard. Oh, here's my thing. Dos Argüelles from Encanto. Crushed it. Down to Joy from Belfast. Here I Am Singing My Way Home from Respect, but they could not stand up to the Gen Z Wunderkind. Billie Eilish and Phineas with their Bond song, No Time to Die.
Right. That's surprising. Usually Disney takes that best original song one home, but...
Dude, Lynn Slippin.
Nah. Couldn't avoid the Billie Eilish train.
Yeah.
TV, you're right. Best TV series, musical or comedy. We got The Great, Ted Lasso, Reservation Dogs, Only Murders in the Building, and the one who took it, Hacks. Never seen Hacks, have you?
I have not yet, but I'm definitely interested. It's a you know, comedy about a comedian, and that's always fun.
It's always fun. Best actress in a musical or comedy TV series. We got Hannah Ehrenbrenner in Hacks, Ellie Fanning, The Great, Issa Rae, Insecure, Tracy Ellis Ross in Black-ish, Jean Smart in Hacks is the one who won it. It always cleans up award season, so I'm just curious, how good is this show?
I think this is its first season.
Oh, I for some reason I feel like I remember it cleaning up another year, but I could be thinking of something else.
Marvelous Ms. Maisel.
That's probably it. Yeah, because that one also cleans up.
Yeah.
Best actor in a TV series, musical, or comedy, Anthony Anderson, Blackish, Nicholas Holt, The Great, Steve Martin, Only Murders in the Building, Martin Short, Only Murders in the Building, but the one who took it, Jason Sudeikis, Ted Lasso.
Didn't he win last year and he was likely very, very high when he accepted his award?
I think so. Best TV series drama, we got The Morning Show, Pose, Squid Game, Lupin, and Succession took that one. And then going through here, best performance by an actor in a drama, Brian Cox, Succession, Lee Jong-jae in Squid Game, Billy Porter, Pose, Omar Sy in Lupin, and then who won? Jeremy Strong in Succession.
I see Lupin on here a lot, and I never hear anyone talk about that show.
I've never even heard of it. Also, fun to note that while they didn't win Best Performance by an Actress in a Limited Series, Elizabeth Olsen got the nomination for WandaVision, and then same thing for actors. Paul Bettany got the nomination.
Yeah, I guess they don't really have as many of the technical awards for the Golden Globes that I feel like WandaVision could have done really well at, but I guess we just have to wait for the Emmys.
Probably. I thought there was going to be like costume design and stuff, or set design too. Right. Like WandaVision could have taken some of that stuff.
Something, yeah.
But that's pretty much the laundry list of Golden Globe winners. I mean, Oscars or Emmys, whatever's next, we'll be ready for it.
Yeah. So watch Power of the Dog, West Side Story, Succession, and Hacks is what you really learn from this award show.
Sounds like it. I'm going to have to find out where the heck Hacks is at, because it's HBO. Sounds like it's the place to watch. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So moving on, we've got the third episode released of The Book of Boba Fett. I won't spend too much time on this because the episode again was boring, man. I mean,
dang. Stock down or stock neutral?
Stock is neutral because it wasn't overly boring. There was some stuff in it that that kind of offered a little bit of variety, but man, I'm not in. I am mostly out. So it's tough to say, especially with Tanner not being here to help me break it down too. So I'll just say that I'm not going to stop watching it because I love Star Wars and I love The Mandalorian and I trust Jon Favreau. So I'm going to keep watching it. However, if I was just a casual Star Wars fan, like somebody who maybe have seen all the movies and that's it, I would not be watching this show any longer.
Wow.
I made the comparison last week about the Bad Batch, and this show is right along with it, man. I don't care to continue.
That's tough.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
It's sad because like Mandalorian was so like, I don't want to say groundbreaking, but like for the Star Wars universe, you know, we've had years of like divided fans, and The Mandalorian was one of those first things that like fans kind of were just like, we love Star Wars again. Exactly right. What you just did. But this one, I haven't seen a ton of chatter about it. And that kind of worries me in terms of just like how it's being received from fans. But you know, I mean, I guess we'll just have to see. I've heard nothing. I don't know if this is going to be a multi-season show. I don't know if it's a one and done. I'm sure they're probably just waiting to see how it does. But as of right now, I'm just not in.
Dang. That's a bummer to hear.
It is. Especially because we were like, yes, more Star Wars content to fill the gap between now and presumably the next Marvel show. But I'm just, meh, don't care. I usually am playing on my iPad while it's on in the background, to be honest.
But not Wordle.
Not Wordle. Not yet. Now I'm going to be playing Wordle while watching The Book of Boba Fett.
Very cool.
So I'll leave it at that. The Book of Boba Fett episode. I think it's been episode 3. I think it's been 3 weeks of it. January 12th is when this article was published. Yeah, so it was last week. So episode 4 coming this week. Plus, I don't know like how many episodes there are. Like, I don't know if this is a 10-episode thing. I don't know if an 8-episode thing. Let's see if I could see here. Okay, so it looks like it's looking like it's a 7-episode thing. Finale airing Wednesday, the 9th of February. Which, interesting. Only 7 episodes. Very interesting. But it is what it is. We'll just move on. We won't dwell on it too long.
So we got new shows to talk about.
We do. A new show that I feel the complete opposite of the Book of Boba Fett, Peacemaker. So Peacemaker, for those of you who don't know, is the origin of the DC superhero so dedicated to world peace that he is prepared to use force of arms to achieve it. Written and directed and created by James Gunn, starring John Cena, Freddie Stroma, and the list goes on. Many more others. Jennifer Holland, which I've learned is James Gunn's wife.
What?
Steve Agee, Robert Patrick, Danielle Brooks, Annie Chang. So that's kind of where we're at right now with cast. We've got 3 episodes they dropped on release day last week. Then episodes are airing week by week on HBO Max. Matt, I know you weren't as crazy about the Suicide Squad than I was, so I'm curious where you are with this one-on-one with Peacemaker.
This show is definitely entertaining. I'm definitely enjoying watching it. I'm having a good time, but it is just barely hanging in the B range for me.
Okay.
I think like the overall aesthetic, the way I would like describe like the show, its writing, its, you know, cinematography, its music choices is what would a middle schooler find very cool?
That's a good point.
Swearing for no reason.
Yeah,
like hard rock music, like just gratuitous like gore and like violence. And so I'm not like put off by it, you know. I'm not, you know, it is what it is. I just am not sold on the point of it as of this. Like, is it like saying that like the Peacemaker is kind of like Arrested Development and that's just kind of like how he is? He's just like a little bit like stunted. So I'm just like not fully on board with like sort of, I don't know, calling it its design sensibility sounds a little bit hoity-toity, but just kind of like the what's sort of the main ideas behind it.
Yeah. I'm there with you in that it's very enjoyable to watch. I mean, I have a fun time. I'm entertained. Mm-hmm. A lot more entertained than I thought I was going to be. I was curious how, like, you know, most DC shows are, like, really corny and really kind of full of themselves, whereas this one kind of feels like a movie, but they just split it into 8 parts. So, and you can tell it's James Gunn. I mean, it's total, like, amazing soundtrack for the show. Cheesy intro. Did you skip the intro? Did you watch the intro?
I watched it all time because it's just too bad to not watch.
It almost gives me, like, Family Guy intro vibes. The whole cast breaking out into, like, song and dance.
Yeah.
Just for a show that just makes it, there's no reason that the show needs to have an intro with song and dance.
Right, but no, it's just one of where it you know is that's where that like design, that just sort of aesthetic of it is just like hammered in right away.
Right.
So with some mildly obscure hair metal from sometime, I don't know, the '80s, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where the show goes, but I don't know if they've really announced, like, is this gonna be like a like a season 1, 2, 3, 4 type deal, or is like, hey, this is Peacemaker's a one and done, basically like a WandaVision type thing where we get one season to continue the storyline of Peacemaker? Because at this point, like, I'm just speaking out loud and just having diarrhea of the mouth. Like, does DC know what they're doing? Do they have a roadmap? Especially if these things that we're hearing are true about, like, the Flash just rebooting everything. Is Suicide Squad, like, factored in there?
Right,
Are they going to take the things that work and keep them and destroy the things that don't work, i.e. like Zack Snyder's, like, influence? And we're going to say, like, okay, James Gunn knew what he was doing with Suicide Squad. He knows what he's doing with Peacemaker. I just saw a tweet, a news article, where they were interviewing him, I guess, for the launch of Peacemaker. And he revealed that after Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, he revealed that his next project is another DC TV show. So DC's paying him the big bucks. Are they leaving it up to James Gunn to create a cinematic universe? Or what's the deal here?
The Suicide Squadiverse? Yeah, I don't know.
I think the supporting cast is pretty strong as well.
I thought it was good, but what I don't like about them is just like the same thing. It's just the dialogue, I feel like, is not the best. I also feel like it thinks it's a lot funnier than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's definitely like some good jokes in there and some good like laugh out loud moments, but like not as many as they're wanting. They're throwing a lot at the viewer.
I was also surprised, just kind of jumping all over the place.
Yeah.
How HBO the show is. Like, I knew it was going to be raunchy with like the James Gunn like humor, just like it was in the movie. However, like when it cuts to just him railing random bar girl, I was like, oh my God, like this is, they're doing it. Like DC really just gave James Gunn the steering wheel and was like, just do what you want.
I mean, but I feel like that's an intentional choice, like given all like the Marvel shows, and they've still been, you know, pretty not like squeaky clean, but they've stayed pretty like family friendly at least.
What's funny is, have you ever seen the guy on either Instagram or any of your socials? His name is Soups.
Not ringing a bell. Spelled like the S-U-P-E-S.
Yep. Just look him up on Twitter when you get a chance later. He's basically this huge content creator, and he does all kinds of stuff with DC and with Marvel. He goes to all the premieres, and he tweeted out this video today that I thought was pretty interesting. And it was basically what you just said, like, hey, DC has a chance here with TV to like overdo themselves and really like nail the TV, because Marvel shows, like you just said, are probably required by Disney to stick to a certain like tone.
Code,
and
yeah.
Yeah. And kind of just overall feel. And we could be proving ourselves wrong here, because any moment now, we're supposed to get a trailer for Moon Knight.
Right.
And I've heard that that's going to be like Marvel Daredevil-esque, where it's just going to be real gritty, kind of real messed up, kind of really dark. So, I mean, this, I could be eating my words right now.
In literal seconds.
Yeah, in literal any time. I know it's supposed to debut tonight, like during this Monday Night Football game in the playoffs, but I don't know if that's going to be at halftime, which is probably going to be way a couple hours from now.
Yeah.
So we'll probably just end up talking about it next week. But rather, either way, DC could do a thing here and make some gritty, edgier superhero shows, or they could just come in second place like they have always done.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I mean, second place is better than the DNF that their cinematic universe is pulling with right now.
It's true.
What did you think about kind of the mini arc that they set out by releasing those first three episodes together? Were you left wanting more by the end of the three, or did you think that that was good? I think just doing the first episode would have been kind of underwhelming, so I'm glad they gave us a little bit more.
You know what's funny is I hadn't thought about that until you just mentioned it. I'm pretty sure that, yeah, after the first episode, I would have been like, okay, but let's see some more stuff.
Yeah.
So I think actually, honestly, releasing those first three kind of gave us enough to be like, okay, so this is what this show is going to be like.
Yeah, it felt like a chapter versus like an episode, kind of.
It almost felt like they released those three to maybe... I'm assuming that they made that those three just like... I don't know what I'm trying to say. Well, I know what I'm trying to say, but maybe they're banking on not everybody having seen the Suicide Squad too. So they're trying to kind of like show like, this is what this character is all about. He's gritty. He's mean. He's full of himself. He's a dickhead, but he's also got some heart to him.
At least remorse at this point from the Suicide Squad. Feels bad about killing Rick Flag and all the people of color.
What do you think of one of the funniest but also just like total dumb aspects of the show in Eagly?
Well, like
it's so stupid.
But... it's so stupid, and the first shot of it, the CG looked terrible. It was so bad.
I would be lying if I told you I didn't crack up when he gave him like a hug in the garage and he was like, "Dad, get my phone." He's hugging me right now.
Right? Like that was funny. And like that's just good comedy. It didn't need like 40 F bombs.
Right. Exactly.
Like, around it. Yeah. And so, and I think it's like another thing, sort of again, continuing to bounce all around. I think the supporting cast is good, but I feel like they go from just normal, smart, quippy, like talking to angry just like at the drop of a hat, like all four of like the not Amanda Waller crew. I can't remember what.
Yeah, whatever they're called, the I guess just the secret agents. I don't know what they're called.
That's probably close enough, but yeah, they go from just like chatting or whatever and then just like all yelling at each other like with very little provocation. I'm like, all right, just chill out, work together.
Yeah,
we're at work right now.
I'm at at this point. I don't necessarily have expectations, just because I just don't have expectations. I don't think. I mean,
of the show in general.
Yeah, I just want to be entertained. DC shows are more complicated, just because of like we don't have that existing like universe that we all know and love. Whereas Marvel, we have a universe that we are like eager to see the next chapter of. So at this point, it's just like a one-off, like fun show to watch.
Right, and it's kind of just like anything is bonus. They're playing with borrowed time.
Exactly. So, I'm in. I mean, I'm more in than I am on Boba Fett. So take that, Disney.
Mobar.
In case people sometimes accuse me. Some of my friends are like, "Man, you just never have anything negative to say about Disney stuff." I'm like, well, if it makes you feel any better, they're not paying us. Their stuff has been pretty decently good for the past year or forever, honestly. So when they get something wrong, it's just kind of disappointing. Whereas when DC gets something right, it's like, okay, it's about time. Like you've got my attention.
Yep.
So Peacemaker, y'all, every episode airs on Thursdays on HBO Max, and I guess we'll just keep going from here. We're interested.
Yeah, don't know how many episodes we're getting a week now, but we'll have them all watched and be ready to talk about it.
It's true. Okay, so next up, and kind of the big ticket item of the week, also wanted to mention that I know last week I think I mentioned that me and Tanner were going to catch Scream. That was the plan. However, us Southerners down here had a little bit of winter weather this weekend. We got a few inches of snow, which isn't monumental, especially coming from me and Tanner, who were both, you know, Tanner's from New York. I was born in the Midwest, so we're definitely used to snow. However, the rest of the state isn't.
Right. It's not a you guys thing. It's a
no, And
it's an infrastructure thing.
Absolutely. The lack thereof, rather.
Yeah.
So whether we were ballsy enough to get in the car and dare driving on the snow or ice, the movie theaters were closed. A lot of the businesses were closed the other day, so we didn't get a chance to go. So I think next week we'll watch Scream, or I guess this week, next week's episode, we'll watch Scream, because there's not another big ticket item, I don't think, to see. I mean, really, I mean, these January, February months are usually pretty dead. So
yeah,
keep an eye out for a Scream review next week. However, Tanner saved us, because the other day I went and saw him and his parents at their house, and they mentioned, like, hey, you need to watch this Ben Affleck movie on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I've seen like advertisements on like Twitter for it. And thus we have the Tender Bar, which is rated R. It's a drama slash, says it's listed as a drama slash comedy. There's not many funny moments, but there's a few.
The first half is pretty funny, I feel sure. Like. Just him growing up.
True. It's right under 2 hours, which was very nice. An hour and 45 minutes or so. Yeah. Very quick in and out. Currently, the critics, I want you to guess on this, Matt. Like, we're doing a run through. Have you seen this?
Yeah. I saw it was like in the 60s, right?
Right now, the Rotten Tomatoes score for critics is 52 rotten. Ooh. Which, okay. But the fans, however, are giving it 72%.
Yeah. Was that even lower than I would expect?
Still seems a little low. For those of you who don't know what the Tender Bar is about, let me tell you, it was directed by George Clooney, rated R, if I hadn't already mentioned that. The Tender Bar tells the story of J.R., a fatherless boy growing up in the glow of a bar where the bartender, which is his uncle, Charlie, played by Ben Affleck, is the sharpest, most colorful of an assortment of quirky and demonstrative father figures. As the boy's determined mother struggles to provide her son with the opportunities denied to her and leave the bad home of her outrageous, if horrible and belligerent supporting father, played by Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
JR
kicking around.
Yeah, for real. Didn't know Doc was still alive, to be honest. JR begins to gamely, if not always gracefully, pursue his romantic and professional dreams with one foot placed in Uncle Charlie's bar. The Tender Bar is based off of the best-selling memoir of the same name by JR Moehringer. So Ben Affleck, Ty Sheridan, Lily Rabe, Christopher Lloyd, Max Martini, which is just a dope name.
Yeah.
Played
a terrible character, though.
Absolutely. Terrible character. Matt, what'd you think here?
I thought it was good, man. I thought it was just a good, solid, like, I'm like looking at the poster for it. It calls it warm and memorable, and that it hits you right in the heart. It's like, yeah, it kind of did. The first half especially was just a ton of fun to watch. Just him growing up. The second half was still pretty solid, but it had less Uncle Charlie, and Uncle Charlie is really he is what's holding this movie together for me. That's the Ben Affleck character, just since he goes to college and goes away, and you know, sort of has a little bit of life happen to him. And maybe I'm just a little I'm having enough life happen to me now. I don't need to see another guy go through it. But yeah, I thought it was pretty enjoyable. What about you?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I very much so enjoyed myself. Tanner's parents, my aunt and uncle, they very much so set me up for like, hey, this is a very enjoyable movie.
Mm-hmm.
A very like you said, kind of warm, kind of very like homey feeling, like. Yeah. Very like just the way like the soundtrack was bussing.
Yep.
Just you know where the movie's going. It's not a complex plot. You from the get go, you're like, ah, so this guy is a shitty father. He's gonna take a liking to his uncle, and his uncle's gonna be more of a father than his actual dad is. That's you could probably even get that vibe from the trailer.
Right. Yeah. Or even just the same poster I'm looking at. It's him as a kid looking at Ben Affleck, looking all cool on the car.
Yeah.
All you need.
Exactly. I think, like you said, Ben Affleck is awesome in this.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the kid, Ty Sheridan, he does remarkably well. And in case you didn't remember who he's from, He plays Cyclops in the X-Men movies.
Okay, I thought he looked familiar.
He's also in a few other things, but that's mainly what he's known for.
Well, he was in that Tree of Life movie, the one shot in like real time, right?
True, he was. He was. He was also in Ready Player One. He was the main kid in that, I think. Also Mud with Matthew McConaughey. I've never ever saw that one, but
I did not either.
Either way, I mean, he's in some pretty decent movies, but I'd never seen him in like a drama like this.
He played Tommy Matthews in Madden 21. I know you were a big fan of that, so
interesting. Oh, I see why it's why it was considered in 2021's Golden Globes.
Yep.
It was released in theaters very briefly, the 22nd of December, and then on streaming January 7th. So that is why.
Yep.
Also important to note, maybe not important to note, but I really enjoyed Christopher Lloyd's performance here.
He was good. He was, you know, kind of a grump, but when you were an old man in a movie in 1985 and it's now, you know, for almost 40 years later, you definitely get to be a grump again. But you had that really heartwarming scene where he took him, took the kid to school, stepped in to be a bit of a father to him. So yeah, it was really nice.
Was there anything about the movie? I know we both gave it kind of moderate. I give it an A minus, but kind of teetering on that B plus.
Yeah, like, which is what I gave it.
Was there anything that overly didn't sell you on an A, or was it just kind of like, this was a good movie? I'll never really think about it past this week, but it was a good movie.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of it was a memoir, so it's going to have a bit of like a meandering plot, and they're just it doesn't have an, I don't really think of it as a movie that has an ending. I think of it as a movie that just kind of ends. And I mean, like, it's about someone's life, so you're not going to have like a tidy bow tied around it, but that's also the point of making it into a movie, that you can, that you can sort of like cap it off a little bit better than this did.
A lot of the criticisms here, I'm looking on Rotten Tomatoes at some of the critic reviews. Most of the bad reviews just says that the movie's overly dull.
I mean,
which
I guess if you watch it in a theater, it's gonna underwhelm, but just when I watched it like on my couch on like a Sunday morning, like it was perfectly pleasant.
Yeah, absolutely. Me and Catherine watched it this morning when we woke up with our coffee, and it was like, this is a fun movie, but because that we're on our couch. If this was a theater thing, I would have been like, I don't need to pay to see this one.
Right, yeah.
But she overly enjoyed it too. She thought it was great. Mm-hmm. And I mean, most of the reviews are praising Ben Affleck and Ty for their performances, but most of it just says, this doesn't feel like a product of Hollywood. This feels like community theater, which I feel like seems harsh.
That's definitely harsh, because I also watched some community theater this weekend. So I have a very good metric. Shouts to my friend Christiana in the musical adaptation of Little Women. She crushed.
Oh, wow. Big shouts. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of that criticism is fair. I thought it was pretty enjoyable. I mean, it just seems like it was, I don't know. It seemed good. I mean, it was a easygoing movie. There wasn't much stress involved with it.
I will say one takeaway I have from it though.
Okay.
I'm not usually a talk to a stranger at a bar kind of person, but if I do and we're really vibing, I'm going to hit him with a back that guy up on me.
Yeah, dude,
that was the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Back that guy up. Dude, when I was watching the movie, part of the reason that it sold me is like my dad grew up in a town of like 250 people, okay, and they had one bar in town,
yep,
and like all the locals were there. Like the bartender knew everybody by name. He knew their drink. Watching this movie just made me feel like I was back at that bar. And unfortunately, since my grandparents have passed away, mm-hmm, I haven't been back to that bar. there hasn't been a reason to honestly go back.
Dude, you just got to go and back people up.
Dude, that's the thing is now I just want to back people up.
Yeah.
Dude, catch me next time I'm getting drinks with a couple pals, me saying, hey, I'll back you up. And they'll look at me like, what does that even mean?
Yep.
So I thought it was enjoyable. And I know Tanner gave it an A too. So I know he was on board with it. So for the first movie review of 2022, a pretty good start.
Starting strong, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, do we want to talk at all about some of the quote unquote villains of this movie? We've been talking positive. Do we want to talk about the voice or Sydney, the chick that leaves him on the hook?
Which is funny because sure, yeah, let's talk about it. First of all, you know it's like a decent to good movie when the scene that he goes to visit his dad, you know something bad's gonna happen.
It's so uncomfortable. George Clooney directed. I don't know if you mentioned. Oh, I think you did, but like that was more well done than I would have expected. Just like the discomfort of the whole situation.
Yeah, I'm there with you. It was one of those that was like, oh God, I know that like as soon as he walks in and his dad says something along the lines of like, what's for dinner? And she says like, oh, I'm making chicken. And he's just like, chicken? And like,
yeah.
And he goes all wife beater mode. And
literally.
And then the fact that his son stands up to him, I thought was a pretty great move for him. I was really afraid his dad was going to come over and beat the shit out of him though. I really didn't want that to happen.
Yeah. I mean, nothing about the scumbag of a dad really would have surprised me. So I guess it was kind of surprising that he didn't beat up his adult son.
Yeah. I mean, he just certified sucked. And I mean, it just kind of drove it kind of in the ground more about like, hey, everybody that is in this guy's life rocks except for his dad, but also Sydney. Like, dude, how many times does she go, I'm seeing someone else?
I mean, so that's on her the first time, but then every other time after, I feel like she brings it up ahead of time and he's like, I don't care or whatever. It's like, dude, you got to move on. You can't be doing that.
You hate to see it and you hate it for him because we've all been there. We've all had that person that like, no matter what, like, yeah, I'll still go back to him.
Right.
But you just hate it for him because every single time she's just like, I'm moving in with the love of my life. And you're like, what? Like, didn't you guys just fuck?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happened when the first time he like came home with her, like, did that. And then she, dude, no one is pulling the move of you're about to meet my parents who know we snuck into the house to have just loud raucous sex. And then I'm telling you that I'm seeing someone else. Okay, let's go meet them.
Nobody's,
that scene was so wild.
Nobody is, dude, that scene where they are going at it and you just like see it from mom and dad's perspective. Dude, nobody is sneaking into the house to then turn around and be loud as hell to then wake up like Christmas weekend and be like, oh, by the way, be like, hey, my mom's got pancakes downstairs. Oh, by the way, I'm seeing someone else. Huh?
I'm going to take you to the train, but after breakfast, just breakfast is the most important meal of the day, whatever. But you can get that at the train station.
She smiles at him as she stands up and she's like, take you to the train later. And it's like, well, excuse me, you just broke this dude's heart.
Yeah. The only thing I like thought was like, maybe she meant like she was seeing him as someone else, like, just as sort of like the lower income guy, sort of like in relation to like the person her parents would want her to like be with. So, but I don't know. Then she cheated with him later in the movie. So I'm like, she was probably doing the same thing back then too.
Yeah. So, I mean, no matter every single time she's on screen, you're like, oh, this man's about to be hurt.
Yeah. And he did it to, does it to himself. And he knows that to a point.
Even when he goes and gets dinner with his buddy and he's just like, have you talked to her lately? And he's like, nah, I don't know how she's doing. He's like, well, she's getting married this weekend. It's like, this girl has a bad track record.
Yeah. Yeah. I did like the follow-up of any time his buddy was in the Dickens, the tender bar of which the movie is named. He was having the martini that that Uncle Charlie said, you got to decide now what's going to be your drink.
That's true. That was a really good point.
He picked martini and they stuck with it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, yeah. Fun movie. Like, deceptively for some of this stuff. But, yeah, man. Backing people up and Uncle Charlie. That's what's really winning it over for me.
Yeah, like, just the whole, like, we all have an Uncle Charlie. We all have at least one uncle. Or most of us have at least one uncle that just... just fucking rocks, yeah. You know, and like Uncle Charlie is that guy. And I really enjoyed the chemistry between, especially you see, I don't think it's bad, but it's better definitely when like, when JR is like young, not like when he's an adult, but like when he's young,
when he's a kid. Yeah. He was a great child actor.
Absolutely.
Didn't have wasn't given a ton to do, but was able to definitely crush it.
I was surprised that the movie, and then again, I only had watched maybe like a trailer and a half or maybe like a TV spot for the movie. So I didn't realize that a lot of the movie was going to take place when JR grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So when it hit that point of him growing up, I was like, oh, so no more kid JR?
Well, you do get him.
You do in a great scene. Absolutely great. Yeah. You know that kid had a ton of fun in that scene.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of disappointing that this movie released at the time that it did. If it came out like a month earlier, I feel like it would have been a great like sort of people our age, like with their parents and stuff. Like everybody's, you know, mature enough to watch a rated R movie. It'd be a great like Christmas family watch for sure.
True. Yeah, very enjoyable. Amazon Prime or Amazon Video, whatever. It's an Amazon original. Again, directed by George Clooney, starring Ben Affleck, Ty Sheridan. A good watch, especially for these not lonely, but kind of lackluster months. Mm-hmm. Where we get less and less content. So if you need something to hold you over and you're not going to see Scream in the theaters, this is the movie for you. So that said, man, that's Binge Boys 267. Yeah, yeah. 267. That was a good epi.
That was a good epi. Got a lot covered and, you know, getting out of here in under an hour unless we BS for another 5.5 minutes.
I don't think we're going to do that. We just talked about getting out of here earlier. So everybody, if you enjoyed it, tell a friend. It's the new year. New year, new us.
Yeah.
Same us, but kind of nailing it. Really, yeah. really killing it. Tender Bar, a fun movie, Peacemaker, Book of Boba Fett, and the Golden Globe winners of 2021. That was our episode today. And we'll see you next time with some Boba Fett talk, some Scream talk, the Moon Knight trailer, and maybe a little more. We'll see.
Yeah. Back your buddy up and send him this podcast.
Absolutely. Send them the real or fake Marvel characters. There see you how go. Many they'll get.
Back them up and also back us up.
Ruh-roh. Someone called me, but no longer. Yeah. So send a clip, send a segment, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Say hey, where you at?